The following program is rated M for a mature audience. It contains coarse language.
It's Friday, the best day of the week. Time for another Nate Darling Show with Diana Hong, Ted Sampson, and Christiana D. And now, here to ease away the tension of your week, here's Nate.
All right, let me first get this out of the way. Ted's not here. Okay. Let's just move past it. Ted's not here. We'll be okay. Kareem Daniels is here, though, sitting in for Ted. Hi, Kareem.
Hi.
Hey.
How are you?
Doing well. Coming up on the show today, a rich guy fight, which I found delightful. We've got someone trolling the cops on Facebook. I don't think this is going to end well for them. A reporter who really gets into her job, and a politician who probably not real thrilled with his wife right about now. We'll get to all of those things. But first, Kareem, you enlightened us on some Bible knowledge last show. Do you have a Bible tidbit for us?
Of course. So, you understand, in biblical days, in Old Testament days, feet were a euphemism for penis.
What? That's craziness.
Feet were. So when, I think it was Esther, when she didn't leave her, it was Esther or Ruth, when she stayed with her husband's family after he died, mm-hmm. You were supposed to, his brother would have been responsible for impregnating her after your husband dies.
Sure.
Or the closest male relative.
Right.
So, makes sense,
somebody's
yeah.
got to do it.
Yeah, somebody's got to do it. So in this particular story, her husband's mother tells him to go, her to go into his closest relative's tent and uncover his feet.
Oh.
Oh, snap. Hey, sexy time.
But then that makes the whole washing of the feet thing during Holy Week seem weird. I mean, sometimes a foot's just a foot, right?
I don't know.
What is the Pope doing?
Mary Magdalene was a prostitute.
She wasn't. The Bible, there's a biblical thing. The Bible does not anywhere talk about her being a prostitute. We added that as a people to make it why it was okay that Jesus was hanging out with a woman so much.
She must have been
a saved prostitute, right? Because there's no way he would be besties and or probably later married to some hoe.
Yeah.
Well, we could think
she's not a whore.
Well, that might have been why they were so shocked that she was washing his feet in public.
Maybe. But she was not. She wasn't a whore. That's a
woman
that's
ain't
a
nothing
extra
but
biblical construct.
And, not gonna say.
And it's saying. Entirely possible that sometimes a feet is a feet, but on the program that I watched, they pointed it out
every time they talk about
and after they and it was weird when they. Because they didn't say it when they talked about her washing his feet, but they said it like before that, and then they pointed it out again like later in the show.
I think the way you know is that every time it's like feet is used as a euphemism, then the verse after that is he winketh.
You know? That like oddly turned me on.
That could be
that phrase.
What winketh?
Yeah. It could be
up?
True.
So winketh at you.
So just
and it's weird because everything else in the Bible is okay sexually as long as the offspring was produced.
Mm. Right. You do whatever you want to do.
You can do whatever you want to do. Like rape was fine. Incest was fine. Because they talk about Sodom and Gomorrah. And after Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed, then Lot was seduced by his daughters.
Oh, that happens all the time. It's terrible when that happens.
They got him drunk and took advantage of him.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Bible.
Because they needed to reproduce.
Yeah. Hey, just quick informal survey in the room. Do we think that Jesus actually did a little bit of sinking of the pink? Or do you think Jesus just hung out with dudes and was chaste?
No, I think he was married.
Yeah. Okay.
Sinking of the pink?
I think he might have.
Oh, I get it. I just have a hard time believing a dude didn't want to sink in any pink with his feet.
He was a brother.
Well,
of course he was getting down.
It's true. Yeah. I mean, I don't buy it at all. I think it's a crazy story made up by a bunch of dudes who were like, come on, Jesus, come hang out.
He was a strapping carpenter. They were throwing it at him left and right.
That's why Judas betrayed him. It's because Jesus was late for dinner because he was out with his woman.
yeah, you know, you got, what is it? Judas
was like,
bros?
Damn it,
wait,
I want to hurt Jesus. You said you weren't going to bother that one.
Bros before hoes, right? Bros yeah, before hoes. Absolutely. I said hoes before bros. I was like, that doesn't sound right.
Well, it depends on which head's doing the talking.
Exactly.
Oh shit. Well, I mean, let's be real. If it's been a while, it should be a true bro will understand if your bro put a hoe before the bro.
As Keith tells a joke about that, it should always be hoes before bros.
I don't know. My friends, like, it's gone to the point where, like, my friends pity me. They're like, dude, do your thing. It's cool. We don't judge you. You know, it's been a while. Or it's like, they're like, you don't, you, this is like such a rare occasion. We're just going to let you be a flake.
Because I'm sorry, Nate, if there's a choice between me and you hanging out and me getting some pussy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mazel tov.
You are walking home.
Yeah, of course. And vice versa, Kareem. And it's not even a question.
And that's not, look, and I'm not even going to be, look, if you made me, I wouldn't even be mad. Like, all right,
yeah,
buddy.
Yeah, I
knock
get
that
it
out.
I understand. Not a problem.
I'd be pissed.
Hmm. Well, I guess you're not that much of a dude, are you?
I'll tell you another story about that after the show.
Well, we can tell the story now.
We're telling a story? I'm sorry. I lost track.
I said
I would tell you that story after the show.
Oh, okay. All right. So we talked about the NFL draft in the last show. Former Iowa Hawkeye player Tyler Sash was drafted, I believe, in the seventh round back in 2011. He played a little bit for the New York Giants. He's 25. He's not in the NFL anymore. In fact, he's up to no good, sort of. And he made the news in his local hometown. Let's take a listen.
Former Iowa Hawkeye football standout Tyler Sash is in some hot water in his hometown.
That's right. This after he was arrested in Oskaloosa early Saturday morning. And sports director Andy Garman joins us now. And Andy, you actually broke this story.
That's right. We received a tip and looked into it. And what happened was Tyler Sash was in a situation on Saturday morning where he was chased by police officers in Oskaloosa while riding a scooter. He did not pull over after being ordered to by police and actually led them on a short chase. Now, the police report said that Sash was found hiding behind a tree. He attempted to run again and was hit by a taser while resisting arrest. Now, Sash was arrested, sent to jail. He's facing public intoxication and interference with official acts charges. He was then later released from jail. His attorney this afternoon said Sash will plead not guilty to the charges tomorrow.
Right.
And will have they expect him to be fully exonerated.
He's going to be fully exonerated from being chased on a scooter, hiding behind a tree, and tased. He is white, by the way, just to clarify anything. So the police don't see color in Iowa because
there's no color to see. Let's be honest. Exactly. Let's be real about that.
That just amused me. Anytime you hear former NFL player on a scooter chase, that's awesome.
And like Ollie makes me happy.
All right. Well, As we know, there's been a lot of fires going on in Southern California, San Diego specifically on fire.
Tis the season.
Well,
what kind of gay stuff are they doing down there?
I don't know. God's very angry. But the county app listed the Bernardo fire because they name the fires out here. If you're not familiar with California, the fires all get names.
Well, okay, they get named by Cal Fire for
right.
Mission like organization purposes.
Yeah,
it's not like vanity like storm blah blah blah.
Yeah, it's not like this new thing of naming winter storms so that a snowstorm will seem more menacing. This is an actual thing to sort it out because there will be like 8-9 fires going on at once, and that's how they keep track of it. So an emergency alert went out to people who have this app. It's an emergency notification, and here's let me make this bigger so I can read it. It's about from the County of San Diego emergency for alert San Diego evacuation. It says notes in your pants. The fire is in your pants.
Oh, hey.
Yeah.
Does that mean you're hot or a liar? I guess if the fire's in your pants, it's you're hot. If your pants are themselves on fire, you're a liar. Is that the difference?
I think it depends on the location of the fire. If it's in the bag.
I'm hot just like an oven.
The communications director in San Diego, Mike Workman, said he learned about the problem a short time after it was made public. He explained that two people were assigned to create the map and use the county's geographic information system once they realized the fire would be a significant emergency. As they entered coordinates and neighborhood names into the system, an unknown person entered the words, "fire in your pants," in the notes as it was supposed to say, "Bernardo fire." Officials soon published a new version of it, so they never had to take the whole map down to fix the issue. They also closed a portal into the system that the culprit used to gain entry. My guess is the portal was a door, and it was someone joking around. But they're going to be taking steps to prevent something like this from happening again. So, yeah, fire in your pants.
So time cops hit.
Yeah, I love the people tweeting. Fire's in San Diego, but SDE emergency app says it's in my pants. Ready San Diego hashtag fail. So yeah, no fire in your pants. I joked that if there were a fire in my pants, I would already know because there's a party there.
Oh snap! Wow.
What? Someone would have told me. This, Christiana, you posted on your Facebook page, and it ignited a bigger firestorm than San Diego.
In Facebook terms. Yeah.
In Facebook terms. It's titled, from Deadspin, "The man who helped bring down Donald Sterling is an asshole, too."
Yeah, I did see that on Facebook.
Yeah, and this also leads to one of the few times where I disagree with former podcast member Larry Mead.
Yeah. Yeah, Larry hates Kevin Johnson.
Well, I don't love the guy, so we're not far apart on that.
Right.
However, so that you want me to run down the story?
Yeah, yes, go ahead. Please.
So you may have noticed, if you were paying attention, and you probably didn't have a choice, to the Donald Sterling thing, that when the mayor of L.A. was making comments about it, which also I don't know why, Kevin Johnson was down. He went down to L.A. to be an unofficial rep for the players. I don't know what the fuck he's doing. Come home. We got shit to do here.
Well,
come back.
I can answer that. Chris Paul actually asked him to do that because they don't have a head of the Players Association right now. And Chris Paul's in the middle of a playoff series, and it's the owner of his team.
And actually, he is one of the people who's actually looking for that person.
Right.
He was assigned.
He's on the search committee. Still.
He's like the head of the search committee.
Well, here's where I think he made a misstep. Because you can put yourself on a national stage, mm-hmm. and people are going to pay attention to you. And maybe you'll get some press that's not that flattering. Granted, this is a Deadspin article. It's not the cover of the New York Times.
That was a very white move.
But what was a white move?
To throw dirt on him, which he really, he had. He's only the spokesperson for them. He's not the person who tried to bring down Donald Sterling.
Right.
Oh, I don't think it was.
And
I don't think it's the people. I don't think it's Donald Sterling's people who. Nobody had to dredge anything up. This guy is kind of a sleaze.
Right. I said this was a very white move. I didn't say this was a Donald Sterling move.
Okay.
The next thing you know, they'll bring a black person out who agrees with Donald Sterling. Go, oh, he's not that bad, which they tried to do with the guy from the NAACP.
Who's no longer with the NAACP.
Yeah.
By the way, how many Lifetime Achievement Awards does the NAACP have to give out? Because this was going to be Donald Sterling's second.
Depends on how much money
you
got.
How much money you got.
To be fair, he's really old. So once you pass 80, I guess you get another lifetime.
I've also been meaning to ask this, and I mean no disrespect. When are we going to advance colored people to the point where the NAACP is no longer the NAACP?
You should ask the Jewish people who pay for it.
Oh, those bastards.
Oh, which would explain the other reason why Donald Sterling got another award.
Oh, that would make a now everything.
Those were very bad times.
So this whole thing, what Deadspin did is, so Kevin Johnson's down there. I happen to think, I mean, if this had been something, if this were the Kings.
Right.
And Donald Sterling on the Kings, then I say it has to do with our city. Kevin Johnson should be there. Past that, we have stuff to do. He doesn't have a great attendance record. I don't know if he missed any meetings for it. I just, you know, hey, once we're West Sac and we're rolling in the cool projects, you go do what you got to do. But otherwise, stay home. And I have plenty of friends who disagree with that. But this article just highlights some of the fun stuff that we learned about him when he was first elected mm-hmm. mayor in Sacramento, which came as shocking news to some people that I know who are otherwise, pretty, pretty connected and pretty, you know, pretty well read about local happenings. But, you know, when Kevin Johnson first ran for mayor, there was a lot of disturbing stories about his conduct with underage girls mm-hmm. in various places at various points in his career. you know, and then you get the normal round of people saying, you know, the bitch baited up and she's money hungry and look, she got a settlement. And I don't know. He is, was not convicted of anything. He was not charged with anything.
He has
that doesn't need to be confused with the actual proof of his innocence of anything. It's all rather unseemly and creepy.
He does have a hint of sleaze about him.
Not, I mean, I don't know. I don't know the guy personally. Whatever. I think he could be doing, outside of his personal life, I think Sacramento could be doing some more cool stuff and that we're not doing. But, I mean, if he, I don't know. The whole thing's distasteful. And I think if you look at this as like a process story, it was interesting to me to see all these people comment about like, oh, what? He did what? It was all over the news. The B covered it. Local stations covered it. Bloggers covered it. Fucking Facebook covered it. Like, it was everywhere.
Right.
So don't act now like, oh, this is crazy, because it definitely was part of the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
We just as a city decided like, that's cool, and elected him anyway.
Yeah. It was one of those things where it's like, nobody ever told us. This is the first one of the real, this is the first time hearing of this. And I'm like, here's a KCRA article from 2008.
Yeah,
because I was there at the time. I knew the story had been covered. Its story had been covered to death, actually. And the bottom line was the voters didn't care, because the person he was running against had been mayor for a while and had done virtually nothing other than turn the floodplain of Natomas into a nice sea of empty housing and empty commercial buildings. And was so focused on...
Okay, to be fair, she didn't turn it... The housing downturn turned it empty. She didn't turn it empty part.
Her whole thing was developing a floodplain as opposed to... And while this was happening, IKEA opens in West Sac, all this other... And this was part of his whole thing. He's like, while she was mayor, an IKEA opened in West Sac, and then a Super Walmart, and then this, and then this. And then all of this stuff that was from the seed of that Walmart, which opened in 2006... or 2005 or 2006, when she was mayor, that's how West Sac has gotten all of this tax revenue and all of this base to do all of these projects that they're doing. And that was kind of what he was running on.
I worked at the Public Works Department before they started developing the Thomas, and nobody who was a planner who had worked there for 20, 30 years thought that was a good idea.
No, it's not a good idea.
At all.
But Heather Fargo lived there, and so that was her constituency.
Well, okay. It's still the largest area of city property where you can put shit.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I don't think it's a great idea. I say that as a resident of Natomas with great insurance.
Sure.
And neighbors with a boat who I try to stay friendly with. It's
a
terrible idea. We build things in terrible places all the time, however, which comes down to money and development and everything else.
White people always got to live on the river.
Which is no. Well, this white person wants to live in the ocean, because have you seen who goes to the river?
River
people are not the... I don't get it. I don't get the river. I do not understand the river.
River or the side of a mountain. If you go to a fucking molehill somewhere, there's a white person in a tough shed talking about, look, Ma, top of the world.
Do you know what my favorite activity is on the river? Is it a holiday weekend to walk down to Sand Cove Beach and just watch the sheriff boat like arrest people who are drunk on the river? So like they just go back and forth, picking people off, dumping out their beer, giving them tickets. It's hilarious.
Oh, those other people go. You're one of those people that go to Folsom Lake.
No, I do not. I don't do river stuff. I don't do lake stuff. Ocean only.
Ocean.
I don't,
and
people call anything that is the shore a beach. Should go fuck themselves. It's not a beach, it's a shore.
Yeah, there's no beach
lakeside.
On a river. There's no beach on a river, people.
It's hot. You can't go down to the waterfront to cool off. Everything is anathema to coastal life. I don't like it.
But fair. All fair. Very fair.
All fair.
And Natomas is a stupid place to live. And I say that, owning a home.
I lived there for a while. And I was just there this weekend. Went up to... what the hell did I go up there for? I forget. Shit, I went to like a shoe store or some stupid shit like that, because I didn't feel like going out to Arden.
Although hopefully by the time this particular show airs, the legislation necessary to finish strengthening the levees will have passed.
Yeah.
Which is good for the entire city, not
Absolutely.
Just the Natomas floodplain.
Absolutely.
I'm not looking forward to them. Once they lift, you know, I got everybody in East Sac freaking out because they're putting in 300 homes.
Mm-hmm.
Calling it like a mega development, whatever.
Yeah,
the moment that building moratorium lifts, I'm gonna get like 10,000 new neighbors.
Sure.
Yeah.
So you come crying to me with your 300 people with their Priuses and their bicycles, whatever, living their idyllic walkable East Sac lifestyle. It's going to take me like an hour to get 3 miles to work or something.
So Kevin, basically Kevin Johnson's been popping up everywhere, and Deadspin has an axe to grind with him and his wife and whatever. Here's the thing about
I can understand his wife.
Yeah. Well, education policy.
She is more relevant now as far as being picked off about what's going on with her than he is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is having a celebrity mayor is never bad for business, because every time Kevin Johnson shows up anywhere, it's Sacramento Mayor Kevin Johnson. Sacramento Mayor Kevin Johnson. Hey, it's Kevin Johnson. He's the mayor of Sacramento.
Yeah. Except the stories that are like Sacramento Mayor Kevin Johnson, who in 2006 was sued by blah, blah, blah for like raping a 16-year-old in her house.
Right. But that shows up on Deadspin. When you see him on NBA telecast, that's not what you get.
You don't get anybody's rape allegations on ESPN.
No.
Telecast.
Any place you're seeing Kevin Johnson show up on TV, it's just mentions of Sacramento over and over again. And as somebody who moved to Sacramento 7 years ago, the only time Sacramento ever got mentioned was when Bobby Hurley rolled his truck over in a ditch in Natomas, and when the Kings got hosed by the referees in the Lakers series. Other than that, not a fucking mention of Sacramento for anything ever.
They didn't even mention Sacramento. Arnold was the governor.
But yeah. And
that's because he didn't live here.
Yeah.
So
he's an asshole too.
And by the way, he's not a quote unquote strong mayor. The city council makes decisions. He's just one vote on the city council. So celebrity mayor, good for business.
Yeah, but he has to show up to meetings if he wants to maintain that vote. That's my problem with him. Is that from the moment he got into office, all he did was like, I can't do it. I need to change the laws to help me. You know what? If you're gonna be, you need to be a savvy politician. Try to do some shit within the framework that's there. Before you go, I can't do it. And you also have to go to meetings.
That's a fair criticism.
He doesn't go. I don't know what his record is now, but I know like right prior to the last election, he was showing up like 45% of the time. You have to go to the meetings.
Well, if you can't make a decision, then fuck it. Yeah. I'll show up when I show up.
Look, if I could show up 45% of the time and still collect my full pay, I would too.
Yeah. If I can't make the fucking decision, then I'll see you when I see you. I got to go through the rest of you motherfuckers. Fuck y'all.
Well, speaking of campaign and politicians, it's political season here in Sacramento, and State Assembly candidate Daryl Fong has, his wife actually sent out a little packet to try and get voters excited about him being a candidate. And I mean, this isn't going to play, is it? You dirty son of a bitch.
Yeah, let's do this story, and then I'll tell you how it's wrong. And it's badly reported.
Well, the facts remain. People were upset.
A person was upset. A person that you interviewed.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I didn't interview.
Okay, your people interviewed.
It's not going to play. So I'll go through it. It was a campaign potholder sent from State Assembly candidate Daryl Fong. It's landed him in a bit of hot water with some Sacramento voters. That's true. A woman and her sister. They were sent out by Fong and his wife, Joy. This one woman got one of the potholders at the home she shares with her husband and her sister, which is weird to me. The envelope was addressed only to the women of the household. Only.
Because.
Yes, go on.
Because, as Daryl Fong said, they mailed to high propensity voters.
Sure.
Which means her fucking lazy husband doesn't bother to fucking vote. If he voted, his name would have been on the potholder envelope too.
Crazy.
Done and done. Conspiracy over. It is not sexist. It is poorly reported.
Yeah. Well, crazy lady said,
"Go girl."
I think if it had been a refrigerator magnet and the letter would have been addressed to both my husband and I, like we got it from the other candidates, I would have felt differently.
propensity voters.
She told Fox 40 that she felt the gesture was absolutely sexist.
Did not even register
to
vote.
She is wrong. Fong maintains the potholders were not meant to be offensive. He said, not meant to demeaning to anybody. I use them when I'm at home so I don't burn myself. Really? Mm. That's what you use potholders for?
Fun
she was
fact,
white, wasn't she?
Fun fact, yes, she was white. Fun fact, in my hometown, people still, when moving house or pulling out old appliances, find potholders from my dad's 1978 campaign for state assembly. We still have like 5,000 in the garage. I can make a quilt out of them. They're all over. I have a soft spot in my heart for candidates who go retro.
Yeah.
I have no pony in this race. I'm not in that district. I don't give a shit who wins or whatever. But this really makes me angry because all of the facts necessary to make a determination of whether or not this was a sexist move were available to the reporters and they just didn't do shit with it.
Well,
the
answer was right
there. The answer was right there, and you've got one woman complaining. You make it sound like it's a sea of controversy, and I think what especially bothers me is that I give a lot of credit to local news stations, all of them, Fox, KCRA, whatever, in Sacramento, because it's our hometown business. They usually do local government stuff pretty well, and this just seemed lazy to me because it's. There was a reason for it. You could have explained it.
To be fair, it is an off-year election. So the accompanying letter with the potholder warns against dark money. No offense, Kareem. Or campaign funds that aren't properly disclosed to the public. Why is that dark money? Why is it not? Anyway, possible sensitivity missteps
aside.
Why isn't
that white money?
White money.
Money got to be black.
Fong's campaign has filed a Fair Political Practices Commission complaint against the District 9 opponent Jim Cooper over campaign contributions that were allegedly improperly disclosed. So there's a lot of stuff going on in that one race, but there's one white lady who's upset.
Alice Kravitz is always one.
Gladys Kravitz.
Who's still named Gladys?
Old white women.
Do you know what that is?
What is it?
I'm asking, do you know who Gladys Kravitz was?
No.
Oh, I do.
Is the neighbor on Bewitched?
Yeah.
Oh,
who looked in the window?
Right.
Looked in the window.
Right. Oh, I know.
Abner, she's doing that thing again.
Do you want to know the other thing about the story, which is also a plausible explanation, is that the voter roll information is public, and so when you're campaigning, you buy a disc with all the data from the county registrar, and you get the where people registered, the party, how many out of the last X elections they voted in. And you do these data polls, right? People get paid a shit ton of money to like just pull their little sheets, you know who you're calling, whatever. And some people look at it and they filter it, and you see three people in a household, or maybe they only pulled high propensity and the husband doesn't vote at all. They see two women there that they probably, and maybe they have the same last name or something, or if they don't, they're probably going to assume they're together, you're going to list both of them on there and not want to. Like, I mean, in parallel universe, they sent it to the man and the woman, assuming they were the couple, and then the woman's complaining because they're being discriminatory against like a lesbian couple. Yeah. So
yeah, I got.
There's
a
no winning.
I got a potholder, I think last election cycle, so I don't remember who it was. Somebody sent me a potholder. Great,
man. I haven't gotten a potholder ever.
Well, are you a high propensity voter?
Yes, I am. I get all kinds of crap.
Christiana, you need to get one of your dad's potholders.
I can do that.
Excellent.
They've got awesome like 70s print on them.
They're
fan fucking tastic.
I want one.
Okay, I'll ask for a shipment.
Okay. Well, TV reporters sometimes will go above and beyond to tell the story. This one in St. Louis really got elbow deep in it.
For his neighbors to take, but a local farmer claims human waste is the best thing for his crops. News Channel 5's Elizabeth Matthews reports from the farm in rural St. Clair County, just outside of Muskoka.
Buck Horine has smelled it before and is about to smell it again.
I hope the wind's blowing that way or that way, and not this way.
Sewage sludge is being used to fertilize nearby crops in rural Muskoka. It's basically raw sewage treated and heated to get rid of harmful pathogens, then used to enrich soil.
The farmer has been using this type of fertilizer for about the past 10 years. It's dried, kind of looks like potting soil, and doesn't smell very good.
When she was standing next to a bucket of this stuff, reached in, and they cut to a close-up shot. She reached in, grabbed a handful of it with both hands, brought it up to her face, and sniffed it. And it doesn't smell very good.
And those are like big whiffs. Like, you heard homegirl inhale. That is like commitment, and she's never going to get past this local station.
Well, she's in St. Louis. It's a big market, so she's doing okay.
So? She's doing okay, St. Louis.
She's one of those women that take a crap and don't turn the fan on when she walks into it.
Yeah, she's like, I need to know what's going on.
That was, wow.
Lets you walk in there and be like, oh, damn. Like, why did you turn the fan?
I like how they have under the article, like under the video, it's like a picture of her headshot.
Yeah.
It's like, let's take a good look at what this bitch looks like. Grabbed human shit. Or animal shit. I guess shit is shit.
Well, once it's been treated, I mean...
What does that mean, though?
The whole point of the story is it's been... Well, all the chemicals that went through it have been taken out. That's why it was treated and heated. It's safe to put on... Basically, it's safe to put on the soil. And you can grow stuff with it, and it's not going to...
Why does the guy want to... Now I'm asking questions I probably should get from the article, but I just read it. There's nothing. What's the difference between that and animal feces?
Probably the availability of it if he has a farm that's
so he can just shit in a bucket, treat it himself, and dump it out.
Well, you could, but that's not what he's doing. He's helping get rid of treated sewage from the local town because he has a farm with crops and probably not many animals.
So he's like helping out the town.
It's green, actually.
Oh, nice.
That brown
man.
Is green.
Get yay. No plastic bags, drive a Prius.
That was the point of the story, was that it was. Although it starts out with, it doesn't smell very good.
Everything I see is a reporter grabs pile of... It's like, David, what was the point of the story again? All it was is that she did it, and he was like, I'm going to still do it.
It was totally unnecessary for her to do that.
It really was.
And by the way, if you're just because growing up on a dairy farm, you spread the cow manure on the field. By the way, cow shit smells like shit. It doesn't smell good. Break it down for you.
Anybody who ever drives anywhere in California for long distance can attest to that.
Oh, yeah, yes. Down the open highway.
Exactly.
Speaking of country, Dolly Parton has been outed as being covered with tattoos. Do you remember the last time you saw her wore a sleeveless dress or a strapless gown?
I don't remember. I can't say I remember anything she's ever worn, period.
Well, it's been
big hair.
It's been rumored for years, that's a wig, that Dolly was heavily inked with full sleeves, but she never showed them off publicly and has even gone so far as to deny it. Back in 2012, while on the red carpet for the premiere of her film Joyful Noise, she bent over a little too far and revealed what looked to be a heart or a flower petal tattoo. A few weeks later, she was a guest on Anderson Cooper's daytime show, which has since been canceled, where she denied that she had a cleavage tattoo and implied the photos had been doctored, although there were multiple photos from different angles taken by different photographers. However, in a 2013 interview, Jennifer Saunders talked about the time she and Roseanne ran into Dolly at a restaurant.
Love is like a butterfly, as soft and gentle as a sigh.
Now, one of the most important things in your book is the revelation that you've seen Dolly Parton's breasts.
Yes, I have.
Mm-hmm. How did that happen?
It was bizarre. It was so bizarre. I went out for dinner with Roseanne, and she said, hey, Dolly Parton's in the restaurant. Do you want to meet Dolly Parton? I went, yes, please. And this...
British people do terrible Roseanne impressions.
Yeah, they do.
They're talking about their tattoos. And Dolly went, do you want to see mine? And we went, yeah, got tattoos, Dolly Parton tattoos. And she literally just opened her top.
And they're on her breasts.
Yeah, and she wasn't wearing a bra, let me tell you that. opened this little jerkin man like that, and they were the most beautiful angels and beautiful butterflies and baskets of flowers in pastel-coloured tattoos.
I think she was looking at Dolly's titties. And that was the effect that Dolly's titties had on her was butterflies and tattoos.
Yeah,
butterflies
and
rainbow. That's what she saw.
Well, right after the video, it says, Dolly made them promise not to tell anyone, but Jennifer put the anecdote in her autobiography. Roseanne, however, was the first one to tell the story publicly as a guest on Craig Ferguson's show in 2011. She said, do you know who's totally tattooed? I shouldn't even tell this. Dolly Parton is totally tattooed. She told me.
Why are these people snitching?
Awesome tattoos all over her body. No black or blue lines. All like pastel gorgeous bows all over everything.
That is what happens when you see those titties.
You hear that song playing, too.
You hear that
like
song
the music
playing
comes
and
out.
It just comes out.
So, yeah, Dolly Parton covered with tats.
I just don't like that people.
It's like a
snitched.
My Little Rainbow. What was it?
My Little Pony.
My Little Pony.
Just galloping
unicorns.
On a fucking rainbow.
Unicorns
shooting
and
out.
Rainbows. He's just like, ah.
I'm going to get a tattoo of all that shit on my titties. And so whenever someone sees it, that's how they will describe them.
Oh, and that can be a great opening line for you at the bar. Go, you want to see my tattoos?
Promise not to tell anyone.
They act. We decide. Cool or Tool.
By God, I'm getting to it this show. Up first in Cooler Tool, potholders. Kareem.
Potholder's idea, cool. That bitch was a tool.
Diana.
I agree.
Christiana.
The potholders or the story about the potholders?
Potholders.
Potholders are fucking cool, man.
Yeah, they keep you from burning yourself. Of course they're cool, by definition. Up next in Cooler Tool, really getting into your job, Diana.
If it's unnecessary, it's kind of tool. But overall, the concept is cool. Like, it's a commitment. It's cool.
Christiana?
Cool, I guess.
Green, what do you think?
Cool, I guess.
No, it's tool. Settle down. Settle down. Just do what's necessary to do your job right and stop trying to show off by going, ooh, look, I'm the one willing to stick my hands in feces.
And inhale twice.
And then sniff big. And finally in Cooler Tool, Dolly Parton. Christiana?
She's cool. Don't you fucking say anything else.
Diana?
I agree, but damn, I love it when Christiana just turns fucking LA hood and it's just like, I'll fucking shake your ass.
I'm not even messing with it.
Listen, Dolly Parton has her own fucking theme park. She's cool. I just saw her on an episode of American Pickers. She had the American Pickers pick shit like a firehouse theme shit for a ride at Dollywood. That Dolly Parton is fucking cool.
She's kind of a boss.
And, yeah.
And if I saw her titties, even if she didn't have tattoos on them, I would see all the stuff that they say.
I mean, here's the thing, too. Dolly Parton is getting up there in age, even when she was showing those. She's going braless? Are you kidding me? She's like...
They're all on the inside there.
Exactly. Listen,
you ever heard of a laser bra? Because it's a thing.
Oh, is it the underwire thing that they're like surgically putting in?
No, it's not an underwire. They just tighten up the ligaments and the muscles there and just pull those bad girls right on.
Actually, no. Perky. I've never heard of a laser bra until this very moment.
That's a real thing. You have fun Googling that later.
Wow, I will.
And whatever else you have to do.
They have another surgery where they're like actually putting like a bra underneath your skin.
Boy, you better hope you never need an MRI because that doesn't end well.
Oh, ooh. Our tattoos and MRIs hurt, no?
I think it can if you, depending on the
ink. I heard if it's like prison tattoos, you're fucked.
Yeah. Yeah. Just another reason not to go to prison. Anyway. And if you do.
I can't afford a real tattoo. Let me get a prison one. Now, Justin Bieber, I know one of Diana's favorites. He's in trouble again.
The favorite.
He's in trouble again. He's been accused of trying to take a woman's cell phone. Bad, 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 bad behavior.
More breaking news, this involving pop star Justin Bieber.
By the way, breaking news, Justin Bieber, okay.
Everything's breaking news when it comes to him.
Los Angeles police detectives are interviewing a woman who says that she is a victim of an attempted robbery.
It reportedly happened last night at the Sherman Oaks Castle Park. The woman tells TMZ she and her daughter spotted Bieber playing mini golf with his entourage when they walked over to say hello. The alleged victim claims Bieber just gotten into an altercation with some people at the batting cage when he noticed her and grabbed her cell phone to see if she'd taken any pictures. She showed him she didn't take pictures. That's when she says he started yelling at her, telling her to leave the park. So far, Bieber has neither been questioned nor arrested.
So, I don't know if anything will come of it, but it was breaking news. He was accused of stealing a cell phone.
People just need to fucking put their cell phones away. If you're around people anyways, especially if you're taking care of your fucking kid, you need to put your cell phone away and take care of your kid and pay attention to them. And I'm only saying this because I love Justin Bieber and I'm bullshitting my way and defending him. Man, I love that fucking song.
They haven't deported him yet.
Why would they deport a fucking gift? That's rude. You don't give back shit. That's mean. That's
you
rude.
You do give back shit.
No, not Justin Bieber. We keep him.
That
he's
is
ours.
Why he needs to be deported.
He is ours. He's just a fucked up kid. He just got dealt a bad card and cards plural. And
He got like $50 million. That is a bad card. Deal me that bad card.
Okay. I would take that. No, I would take that too. But like, keep in mind, he was like kind of, he was put into this box early on, and like he's still trying to find himself. He has to go with what's cool, like that's his whole life, and like he's been socialized to be something different. He is a product of society, so and Usher, so I blame them. Leave the poor kid alone and his millions. And he makes stupid decisions because he's a kid. Leave me alone. I love him.
Thank you, Nate.
I love Justin
I let you go as long as I could with your line of bullshit.
I love him.
I understand.
That's all.
Body
rock.
you're blinded by your love, and I understand that. But the fact
awesome.
Remains, the fact remains, if he were just an average person,
he would not act like that
on a Canadian visa. If he was a Canadian citizen, if he was just doing like sitcom work and he was just a character actor, he would have been deported.
He never would have acted like that. I think if he was just a normal person, I don't think that's a fair assumption to make, because I think if he was a normal person, he was raised differently, he wouldn't act like that.
No, but money reveals character. In the way that it makes
at
you...
At 12 years old?
It makes you more of who you are.
I think at 12 year old...
Just like beer.
Just like beer.
You're
anything.
Shaped at differently as 12 years old. And when you've been told your whole entire life how to behave, how to interact, and like then finally you have all this power and just like, fuck y'all, I'm going to do what I want. He's going through his rebellious phase. Is he going to regret it in 5-6 years? I think so.
This is a thing called parenting.
Oh, no.
That is what parenting
okay,
is
his
called.
Dad
that
came
is,
back in his life once his kid got famous. This kid's been fucked from the beginning. Like
his mother did a good job with him.
For getting his career started. His mother helped him
okay,
go with Usher
look,
instead
wait,
of Justin
out,
Timberlake.
Time
his
time
mother
time.
Doesn't know what the fuck she's doing either.
As someone who grew up without parents... It's an excuse. Mm-hmm. I don't buy the bullshit. So you're talking to the wrong person.
I think it's hard to say. Like if you without parents or like with shitty parents, like I it's kind of like which one's better. It's like picking the less of two evils. It's hard to pick. It's all situational.
You
depending
get
on the person.
To make choices.
When you get older, when you know better, and then it's like who's in
old,
around you.
He's old enough now.
I think he's going to regret this. Hopefully, if he's a really a good kid or a good person, he's going to regret this in 5 years. I give him some time.
No, if he was a really good person, he would regretted it 2 years ago, and he wouldn't be doing
he's
this shit
19.
Now. Exactly.
He's a dumbass. Like, I mean, let's think about all we did, like the stupid shit we did at 19. Except for this one. She's probably the only one. Oh, you guys are... Okay, fuck. I'm the only dumbass that did stupid shit at 19 because my life is fucked up now. So, like,
I did dumb shit at 19, but I didn't do dumb shit to other people
yeah,
at 19.
And that's the difference. That's
I
the
did
difference.
My dumb shit in my mid-20s.
Yeah, and everybody does dumb shit, but normally, and his is self-destructive too, but he doesn't, I mean, yeah, he behaves like a 19-year-old, but he behaves like a 19-year-old Godzilla.
Well, because he has money and power. Yeah. So my thing is, like, I think my defense for him is that I just pity him more, and well, I don't think he had a real shot at being... a decent, real decent human being. And I think he tries to
sure
show
he
being,
does.
I think he does eventually.
He did.
But Hollywood is a monster. It really destroys your soul.
Oh my God. Well, then you've just made the case. He, for his own good, for his own benefit,
send
he needs
to
be
Canada.
Sent back to Canada where he can live a simpler life in Toronto, which, by the way, is a booming metropolis. It's not like he's going, it's not like you're sending him back to fucking Medicine Hat. He's going to Toronto. Send him back. He'll be fine.
As a matter of fact, you brought up Usher. Did you hear about Usher doing any of the crap that he's doing?
If I'd had the money, I probably would have.
But I'm
see,
saying,
but you do like it's different. We can't.
But I'm
speak.
Saying, I
Usher's
been
fucked
famous
everybody,
since he...
fucked over Chili, which I'm still bitter about. And he did that when he was in his 20s.
Usher,
he disappeared. He didn't have the career that Justin Bieber did. He couldn't sing for hella years. He was famous for like what 2 years. He had to quit because he hit puberty, fucked over his career, and then he came back out, and then
look,
he became a womanizer.
Look, you guys. Some people are Natalie Portman. Some people are Lindsay Lohan.
Justin
nature,
Bieber,
nurture, Lohan. I don't know.
Justin Bieber
it's
is
gotta
Lindsay
be a combination.
Lohan. He's a Canadian Lindsay Lohan.
I will agree with that. And I also feel bad for Lindsay.
So
call
you gotta
me.
Tell your kids, be the Natalie. Don't be a Lindsay.
Don't be Lindsay. That's it.
All right.
Tell them bitches no.
It's time for a little Usher. Settle some shit down. He would not be telling Justin Bieber yet. He'd be like, no, no.
He set him up with a swagger coach, a white swagger coach. That is a sign for disaster right there.
Diana and her sociology major bullshit going on over here.
Bullshit. That's what my degree. What's your degree in bullshit?
I'm a black man in America. She wants me to feel guilt, feel sorry for some white guy from Canada. Get the fuck out of here.
No, not just any white guy from Canada.
Some white guy pretending
the
to be
Biebs.
Black.
The Biebs. He's his own category of sexy. I will.
He is the Pat Boone of 2014
R&B. Oh, I've never heard him referred to as Pat Boone. That is awesome. All right, I love this story so much. Two Australian billionaires apparently started punching each other in broad daylight last week when one confronted the other about dating Victoria's Secret model Miranda Kerr.
There's so much to not care about in this story. It's hard to know
where it starts. I like this is where she draws the line. The Justin Bieber story now. This one.
If there are like 200 other Victoria's Secret models.
Yeah, I mean, there's so.
At least. But anyway, one confronted the other.
She was hot.
Right, after leaving his wife and children last year. According to reports, billionaire Australian media moguls David Gingell and David and James Packer ended up rolling around outside on a Sydney sidewalk when Gingell confronted Packer on the street outside his home. Gingell is a childhood friend who served as Packer's best man in 2007. He was apparently concerned with the way Packer had been treating his estranged wife since their split. Quote, he fully accepts that he was the instigator of the incident. That's a spokesman for Gingell. Told the Daily News. Clearly, had he not turned up at Packer's premises in an angry mood, then the confrontation never would have occurred. No kidding. The men had to be separated by their respective bodyguards and were fined $500 for offensive behavior.
That's funny.
It's hilarious.
$500, that's like a fucking quarter to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Packer walked away with a black eye but declined to press charges against his childhood friend. Quote, we've been friends for 35 years and still are. That's what they said in a joint statement.
That's men.
Yeah.
That's
she had to work it out, man. She's got to work it out.
But now we have them out released this morning. Oh,
there's some
this
photos.
This is the full extent of the photographs that were the subject of one of the biggest media bidding wars we've seen in this country for quite some time. Up to about $200,000 believed to have been paid for this sequence.
Oh, boy. Yeah, they were wrestling. Oh, it's either a kiss or he's biting his ear.
I can't tell. There's such a thin line between love and hate.
Oh, sunglasses have fallen off. It's all sad. If you get a chance to look that up, it was on Gawker. If you get a chance to look that up, it is definitely worth the look to see two billionaires getting into a fight.
Oh, that is definitely the making.
And sometimes you got to do that to your boy. You got to pull his card. Like, look, man, you need to take your ass back home to your wife and kids and stop playing.
Yeah, or absolutely.
The title made it sound like they were fighting over this bitch, and it was like, no, he was calling his friend out for being a dick.
Yeah,
because of this bitch, not over this bitch, because of this bitch. So. I need to stop using that word.
Well, in that context, yes.
Yeah. I think that's what I like kicking it with guys, because it's like you can fight. You can literally hit each other and everything's fine. I've wanted to hit several of my female friends. And I
but y'all would never let that
go.
No,
we would never. We would never be friends again. Never be friends again. And so that never happened. But yeah, with guys, you can just literally punch them. And it's like, all right, cool.
Like, man, I'm sorry that I punched you in the dick last week. It's all right, dude. We'll get over it.
Yeah, it's cool. It's
I kind of had it coming.
But like,
yeah, you accept responsibility. I think as guys are more willing to accept fault and responsibility when it comes to like that anything. Kind of stuff. Yeah, because it's like, all right, if you hit me, I must have fucked up somewhere really bad. All right, I get your point. It's when they don't become cool afterwards. It's where like the one doesn't admit that like another person, they did wrong.
Yeah, I mean, and there are instances of that where dudes are like, fuck you, dude. And then that's the end of it. That's the end of it. But like my cats, they fight all the time.
Yeah.
All the time. And then they're cool. Because they're dudes. Anyway, Facebook page of the Des Moines Police Department in Iowa is being trolled by a man suspected of shoplifting at a local Sears. Andrew Bolden is wanted for second-degree robbery for allegedly stealing at Sears and second-degree theft for possessing a stolen vehicle. Quote, we certainly feel that Facebook is a useful tool for us in crime solving. That's according to Jason Halifax. After the department identified Bolden by using social media, someone claiming to be the 31-year-old began posting on the department's page. Quote, first of all, I didn't rob anything. I shoplifted and ran away, and the security guy was embarrassed. He couldn't stop me, so he made up a lie about me beating him up. That's what the post initially reads. The DPD account responded that Bolden was welcome to come in and speak to us about what you did. He responded, now I strive to be public enemy number one. Yup, I got nothing to lose but the world to gain. How dangerous am I?
By the way, the police forgot to warn the public that I'm a martial arts expert and my IQ is quite high end, y'all. Ready?
Oh, boy.
He knows karate.
Oh, boy.
Exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point. Question mark, question mark, right. Question mark, end quote. That's my favorite part.
The department is still hopeful that he'll be arrested. He's a black man in Des Moines. How many of them can there be?
Two?
Yeah. So
there are a few in Des Moines.
No, okay.
I saw I think I saw 10 strippers at the strip club in black strippers at the strip club in Des Moines.
Oh, okay.
But so men. There are a few. But men.
I said women.
Well, no, but this guy's a dude, so it should narrow down the search by 50.
So I'm just saying.
So there's probably
five. So there were at least 10 black strippers in the strip club in Des Moines, so that makes it should at least be 100 black men in Des Moines.
Oh, shit. I thought number would be smaller. Okay.
There's some math to go on there, but they do have a
some
picture.
Some other allegory.
They have a picture of him. He's 31. He looks like your average dude with a shaved head. And he knows martial arts, so be careful.
And he has an IQ on quite on the high end.
Quite on the high end. This also came out of the Midwest. I love the Midwest lately. Performance at YMCA at a talent show by first grade class canceled for being racist.
What?
I can't figure out. I read this, and were they dressed up as the village people, or is it just because the village people? Is it sort of like derivative racism? Well, like, because they were I don't know.
A Dakota elementary
one
school.
One of the kids was in blackface?
Will not be allowing the young men and women in a first grade class to perform YMCA at a talent show because a parent dubbed the planned performance racist.
I thought it would be about people not wanting kids to sing about kind of, like, you know, sexy times.
Well, the kids were supposed
to... That's why it's fun to stay at the YMCA. Oh. At least to the village people, I think. Everything for young men to enjoy. I mean, it's not the branding I go with. I still love the song, but... Whatever.
The kids were supposed to come up dressed like the members of the group, a policeman, a cowboy, a biker, a construction worker, and a Native American. The parent, Elaine Bowman, found it offensive that her daughter or classmates would be asked to dress up like a stereotypical Native American caricature. Quote, I'm not in a position to do anything for these educators and hopefully those people that can make the right choices so all the students of any culture and race won't feel singled out like their race is being stereotyped against. So the objection was the stereotypical Native American.
Wait a second.
Were the kids dressing up as the village people?
Yes.
Because if
yes.
they were, do we know that for
yes.
a fact?
They were going to dress up as the village. Yeah. Yes, it does.
Well, that seems stupid. Why would you do that?
The kids were supposed to come up dressed like members of the 70s group, a policeman, a cowboy, a biker, a construction worker, and a Native American.
So what kind of Native American were they supposed to come dressed as?
Well, I think their whole point was dressing like the village people is not okay.
So the village people are racist.
It's just the Indian that's the problem, right? Because being a police officer is all
Native
right.
Native American, Christiana.
Just
yeah.
Go with this in there.
Well, I mean, listen, the character... The character was a little bit on the stereotypical side, but I think the kids will be okay without the YMCA.
I remember that was the jam back in the day. Always
kids
played
are
at
always,
dances.
Kids
Everyone
are better
stopped.
With the YMCA. Let's get the messaging right here.
Everyone
the YMCA is great.
This. I remember this was like a hit.
Well,
the
actual organization, sure, but
we sing that song a lot at summer camp. Okay,
I remember singing that
imagine.
Song. A lot.
Well, the song is fine. The song is fine. The village people are not okay. Gay is okay. Village people, not okay.
Duh.
All right.
But I'm pretty sure somewhere one in the same.
Whatever. I don't know. Let me flip through here. I need some music to do this. We're doing Florida Corner this show because, God damn it, I'm not going to go a week without Florida Corner. that's.
I'm sure Florida is going to be so sad. That actually, I'm fucking pissed at Florida.
What did Florida do to you
because
now?
Because I need them to tell me my employment dates and how much money I made, and they're not calling me back. And I am being a needy girlfriend, and I'm pretty sure this is how it feels to be one.
Okay.
And I'm upset.
Well.
So, Florida, get your shit together and answer my fucking calls.
Well, a woman in Florida was arrested for disorderly intoxication following an underwear-throwing incident. It's true. Fort Pierce, Florida. She allegedly threw underwear at another woman while she was intoxicated and causing a scene. Police responded to the report of a drunken woman creating a disturbance by yelling at passersby when she walked down the street. When they found Michelle Curry, she, quote, smelled of booze and was having problems standing up straight. The 43-year-old was asked if she had been yelling at people. Curry responded,
I ain't doing expletive wrong, expletive. That's according to the arrest report, where they apparently don't put curse words. Another woman told police that Curry had yelled at her while she was holding an empty liquor bottle and threw down a pair of underwear, as one does. Curry was arrested for disorderly intoxication, trespassing, and resisting arrest without violence. So, there you go.
She threw drawers at somebody?
She apparently just threw them down in anger, which is not okay. Also in Florida, men did not have a good week either. A Delray Beach man had dinner at the Dubliner Irish pub, and when his credit card was declined, he decided to skip out on the bill and get into his black Mercedes and make a run for it. However, there were a couple of problems. He left his debit card with his name on it at the bar, so that's problem number one. Number two, he accidentally got into the wrong Mercedes. According to Boca Raton police, Peter Gaffey, 41, ate and imbibed at Dubliner's until 1 a.m. He racked up a $30 tab at the bar, and they say he failed to pay. The establishment's manager told cops that the debit card that he tried to pay with was declined. That's when he decided to make a break for it. He ran out of the bar, and when he went to make his getaway in his black Mercedes. But, according to police, he was so drunk that he got into the wrong car and left his card at the bar. He ran into a Mercedes in the parking lot. It wasn't his black one, as it turns out. He was so intoxicated, he didn't realize that he's with the wrong one and that his was actually across the street.
He got in a Peugeot, didn't he?
Man, you said he left his card at a bar? He left his card at the bar, is that what you said?
Yeah, his debit card.
So on top of everything else, he's going to get that mandatory like 18% gratuity added.
I know.
That's just exactly the final insult, dummy.
Well, he was arrested and booked into the Palm Beach County Jail on fraud and resisting arrest charges. However, it's not all bad news. He was released on his own recognizance the next day. So,
it's Florida.
He's out. Kareem, I got this one just for you. This isn't Florida, but it's rapshirtsforwhitepeople.com. I thought you might enjoy this. Some of them, use a fine venture capitalist. Won't you back my startup? It's one of the t-shirts. Then one with a Wu-Tang symbol that just says Whole Foods.
Okay.
Ball so hard, my dad's company want to hire me. Bitch, don't spill my wine.
I just want that.
You just want bitch, don't spill my wine.
That's different. And it bothers me it's on this site. I'm like having mixed feelings right now about this website.
You want one of the shirts on this site.
I just want that one fucking shirt. Because it's not, it's a fucking message that I want people around me to know.
Just don't spill my wine.
Don't spill my wine.
Don't spill my wine.
Because that will kill my vibe and then shit would happen.
Here's a fun the police shirt. Instead of fuck the police.
Okay.
If your girl don't swallow quinoa, man that hoe basic. Which I know people who would wear.
Pat Boone bullshit.
Started from the top. Another one, when I die, bury me inside the Whole Foods store. Here's a lady's shirt. My self-respect brings all the boys to the yard.
I thought Pat Boone was dead.
No, he's just busy being racist. here's another one you might like, Diana. Chardonnay and Prozac. Yeah, I'm fucked up now. So there's two that you'd
became my life story. Are you going to read the next one after that?
Well, I was done with that.
Oh, were you?
Yeah.
I'm actually like, this thing gets me like really angry. This is like white privilege at its finest. And the couple that is I got 99 problems, but getting a cab ain't one.
Oh yeah.
God, like it's seriously just like perpetuating white privilege and at the like exploiting rap and like rap lyric and it's, can we talk about the fucking couple? At least this is like straight up from one of those picture frames when they have the couple in there.
Now, Kareem, you see this? My guess is this is an African American who's having a lot of fun at white people's expense.
I hope so.
I really do.
Because then it's fine.
I'm really mad unless it's a black guy, and then
it's just like,
mazel tov.
But I don't know. I'm very sensitive towards white privilege because of my sociology bullshit major that we discussed earlier today, and I
have my white privilege card. I keep it in my wallet.
Laminate it?
You don't need to laminate it. It's tough. It's made to last a lifetime, Diana. Come on.
It's stronger than a black card. Oh, wait, no, the American Express black card, not like a black card. Oh, God.
No, I know what you're saying. Because I watched Entourage. Because I'm white.
There you see. See?
Exactly.
And apparently I hung out with a lot of white people. Oh, but some of these shows.
You say that
just...
like it's a bad thing. Yeah, we're not all bad, okay? Some of us are perfectly all right.
Yeah,
some
let's
of my
see.
Best friends are white people.
That's what I was about to say. Damn it, I have to go home to one.
Do you really?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
I have one staring back at me in the mirror every day, that son of a bitch. Anyway.
And she is Lodi white.
Oh. What does that mean?
Damn.
It means you put a picture in a dictionary of a white woman, it's her.
Okay.
I really want this bitch to spill my wine shirt. Let me just talk shit about this a little more as I'm ordering the shirt. And if I can get it through Amazon.com through the Nate Darling Show.
Well, what you can do, because we've got Nate Darling Show shirts on Zazzle. You go to Zazzle.com. You can design whatever you want for a shirt.
Oh, really?
So you can put whatever you want.
I want to get a shirt because I want to work on this bit, but it's like pillow talk is dangerous.
Okay.
But yeah, no one gets it. Okay. I thought it was maybe it was because I was on that Chardonnay and Prozac, but like I thought it was hilarious. Because I mean it's out of context now. But yeah, Zazzle, you say?
Zazzle.com.
I might make a shirt.
There you go. And the nice thing about them is you can make one and have one sent to you. And it's not
how
like,
much is that?
You can get one for under $20.
Really?
A basic t-shirt for under $20.
Like a basic hoe? Sorry,
yeah,
basic
O t-shirt. In Alaska, they make people tougher because you have to be. Alaska state troopers say an Anchor Point man who shot himself during gunplay spent 5 days with a serious but not life-threatening head wound before visiting a hospital, treating it with only the supplies on hand. According to AST Dispatch, troopers responded to the hospital in Homer at about 2:30 on a Tuesday after staff reported the 43-year-old man's gunshot wound. Investigation revealed the man had shot himself in the head on Saturday while negligently handling a firearm. He did not seek medical attention until Tuesday. He's either stupid or badass. In an email to Channel 2 on Thursday night, the spokesperson says the investigating trooper reported the weapon involved was a .22 long rifle. He was playing around with it when he shot himself. Nobody else was there at the time. It's not clear whether drugs or alcohol were involved, but the trooper took note of the man's medical regimen. No treatment before today other than he put Neosporin on the wounds. So there you go. If you shoot yourself in the head, Neosporin will take care of you.
I'm allergic.
To Neosporin?
Yeah.
Really? That's weird.
Do anybody remember Bactine?
I do.
Yes.
That spray. It was a spray stuff. It was like a bottle with like a green circle, and it stung like a motherfucker.
Yeah.
Ooh, I do remember that.
Bactine stung. Bad.
I did that when I was like six, and that's what they sprayed
Bactine?
Up there.
Bactine?
Ugh. Did it
even worse
make that
than whatever
anymore?
Happened to you? I don't know.
That's
but it's
hurt.
Terrible. Be glad you're too young to remember it.
Yeah, Bactine.
The worst.
Bactine, it was one of those things that I remember my mom spraying on like cuts and scrapes because it disinfected them. And the lie was, it's not going to hurt. It'll cool it off. No, it doesn't.
It hurt.
It stung so bad. And he was sitting there like, ah, like Peter Griffin. When he skins his knee, you're like, ah, ah. But you're like, you know, 5 years old or whatever. And yeah, it was bad.
Oh, Mom, I hate you. you're such a lying bitch.
Still hold that grudge 30 years later. No, fucking Bactine. Remember when you lied to me about Bactine?
It's not a grudge. It's just, I think the whole world was a lie back then. Like baby shampoo, no more tears. You actually get that in your eye. It stings. I'm just saying. There's no such thing as no more tears.
Exactly.
Right. So, all right. By the way, before we get to small town news, I want to thank everybody who's been shopping Amazon through NateDarlingShow.com. We do appreciate it. It is the best way to support the show. And Kareem, go ahead and say it.
Fuck Amazon.
Okay. now, small town news.
Don't let the big world overwhelm you. Let's get small. Small town news.
All right. Time to go to Plattsburgh, New York, where the world moves a little slower. An article by Gordy Little. We came to blows at a local hair salon last week. Relax, nobody called the cops. Blowing your nose during spring allergy season isn't against the law. Every 2 weeks, I dust the cobwebs of my addled pate for a new column idea. Kay is always the first sounding board. Out of nowhere, as I honked into a double layer of tissue, I blurted out, When did we first give up handkerchiefs for tissues in a box? What kind of question is that, was her reply. Another patron looked up from her e-reader and responded with enthusiasm, as though I had opened a box of fond memories. We had a big family, she said. There were 9 of us, and we each had our own little handkerchief with our initials in one corner. On Sunday, we carried a different one with a tatted border made with love by our mom. And so the lively conversation on nose blowing began. Her name is Nancy Staves, and once a Pandora's box was open, there was no stopping her. So my mother taught me how to iron, and I practiced on handkerchiefs. By the way, my father always carried and used a handkerchief. I love it when people hand me column content. I pressed her to continue. I went to a garage sale and I saw something I recognized. It was a little metal thing with small holes in it like a salt shaker, and it was attached to a cork. I asked the person how much it was, and she wanted a quarter. She told me she had no idea what it was anyway. I explained how my mom had one. You fill the Coke bottle with water and put the cork in the top and use it to sprinkle your clothes on the ironing board. That was before steam irons. We probably have one in the junk drawer around our house. Kay joined the conversation while her hair was being dried, and I immediately flashed back to my own mother's heavy wooden ironing board with the bottle sprinkler and the old-fashioned iron and its removable cord. Armed with those precious memories, I got home and did some research in an effort to determine when handkerchiefs gave way to these throwaway tissues.
Dude, stop.
Wake me when this is over.
Just stop.
But there's still a whole page.
No more. No more.
She's even drinking.
Okay, I'll cut to the chase. Tissues have been around since
1924,
when they were advertised as cold cream remover used by Hollywood stars. The pop-up box came in 1929, and it wasn't long after that before it started to replace the handkerchief. My dad actually still carries a handkerchief.
So does my mom, I think.
Kareem, you know anybody who still carries a snot rag around? I like to call it a snot rag, as opposed to a handkerchief.
I call mine my sleeve.
Exactly. I know people that, well, if you go to church, then yeah.
So it's just a church handkerchief?
It's pretty much.
Okay.
I take it back. I do know a couple people back home that still carry them. They use them to, yeah.
Okay. I was just curious. Diana, do you know anybody with a handkerchief?
Yeah. When I was, a lot of my older friends that play golf. Like, when I say older, I mean a lot older. Like, 60s above. But yeah, it's an older people thing, right?
I think so. I think at a certain point, you just don't care. The idea of carrying around your own snot in your pocket is not really that appealing when you think about it.
That doesn't sound good to me.
You know who it's appealing to? The Earth.
It's true. Well, that's why I just put a finger to one side of my nose and blow a farmer's snot out.
There you go.
That's disgusting.
Snot rocket.
Yeah, that's good for the environment. That's green in a lot of ways. Hey, everybody, have a great Memorial Day weekend. Be safe out there. Remember why it's Memorial Day, you assholes. Yeah. It's not just about a barbecue.
Oh, it's not?
No, Justin Bieber.
It's about buying mattresses on steep discounts.
Oh, it's true.
Send her back to Canada.
No! I love you, JB.
Because he listens. He listens. I would love it if Bieber listened to the show. I would love to have a phone. I would Skype with Bieber. We could do the whole Well Hung podcast with Bieber.
Oh, it would be I'll like Skype a 2-hour episode. Here.
I don't think you could do a Well Hung podcast with Bieber.
Bieber, I don't judge you. I don't even like those anyways. It's okay.
All right. Well, he's probably busy getting another terrible tattoo. So anyway, that's it. Well Hung podcast drops on Monday. Y'all have a great weekend. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.